Well, good afternoon, everyone. You know, it's always good to hear the senior choir, so to speak. But down in Nashville, we really look forward to hearing the children's choir. They are so uninhibited, and they can really sing out and really put themselves into it. Not to say that our older ones don't, but it's really exciting to see the young ones do that, and it's really a thrill. Well, you know, since the beginning of Adam and Eve, there's been nothing new under the sun, of course. Speaking of trouble in humans' lives, and Job kind of had a handle on that. If you'll turn with me to Job chapter 14, we will read verses 1 through 6, where Job is talking about being born and having troubles and that sort of thing, which is nothing new to any of us. We humans, you can just listen to the stories here at the feast of the different troubles and complications through health and other things that are happening to us. And this life is full of trouble. Job kind of had a handle on that. In verse 1, he says here, "Man is born of woman and is of few days and full of trouble." Not to say the least, full of trouble, all kinds of turmoil, all kinds of things that are going on throughout our entire life. Verse 2, "He comes forth like a flower and he fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. And do you open your eyes to such a one?" Job is asking God. He's asking God, do you actually, you know, look at one in this condition? So frail and, you know, with so many physical problems, and bring me to judgment with yourself, you know, against God. Verse 4, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" No one. Verse 5, "Since man's days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest," you know, and not be under so much pressure in this life, "till like a hired man he finishes his day." Is what Job is actually trying to say here in so many words is, give me a break. Give me a break from all this trouble that I'm going through. Then let's drop down to verse 13 through 15. There in Job 14, "Oh, that you would hide me in the grave." You know, I'm just sick and tired of all this trouble and all this heartache and everything that we humans are going through. It says, if you would just hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. And then he asks a very, very important question, a very important question. He says here, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" A very, very important question. Hold your finger right there in Job 14, and let's turn over to John 11, verses 25 and 26. John 11. Verses 25 and 26, and this is the story where Jesus is talking with Mary and Martha there. You know, their brother died, and Jesus stayed away on purpose, you know, for a couple of days before he went over there, because he wanted to make a point. He wanted to show them that he did have that power of resurrecting humans. And but in verse 25 and 26, there Jesus said to her, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die," you know, those that are God's people that die, "he shall live." And then in verse 26, "And whoever lives and believes in me," that's the key, "believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" he asked. He has the power to resurrect the dead. And we know that for sure. And Job was asking these important questions. And he was just really sick and tired of all the troubles and just said, you know, "Hey, give me a break. But I do want to know, if a man dies, will he live?" very important question to each and every one of us. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, and in Luke 21, these are known as the Olivet Prophecy scriptures. And this is where Jesus Christ is describing the end of the age. And he is telling about the events and world conditions that lead up to his second coming. Just before the 1,000-year millennium, time of change for a lot of people, time of peace, because Satan will be locked up in his little prison there. It's picturing the Feast of Tabernacles, what we are attending here. And everyone, and that is everyone who watches the local news, all of us can be sure that the human culture is slip-sliding deeper and deeper into the slime pit of sin and corruption. And all the world's governments are all crooked. You can't trust any one of them at all. And these are things that, of course, Christ is going to be putting down when he returns and setting up God's government. And we can see that in this whirlpool of events and conditions that are going on, it's going faster and faster. We're in a vortex of information that we receive through the instant communications that we have. I know in my pocket alone, I have an iPhone that collects all the news that comes through. And very, very, very intense sometimes to see all the things that are happening around the world. But we're in this whirlpool that is going faster and faster and faster. And, this is a time for us in God's church, those of us who know God's truth. This is wake-up time. This is a time for us to be watching. And is what God wants us to watch is our spiritual self, is what he wants us to watch. So the title of today's sermon is, Are We Spiritually Awake? Are we paying attention to our works, of how we are living our lives, and the things that we are doing in our lives? Are we being diligent to be obedient to God? And of course, the millennium and the return of Jesus Christ, this is what we are praying for. We kind of feel like Job, where Job says, yeah, hey, give me a break. I'm so tired and sick of all of this trouble that's in the world and all this pressure that's going on. Give us a break. We pray for your kingdom to come. So as the time for Christ, for his return draws near, even more near all the time, we need to be asking ourselves, well, what should we be doing in this little short life that we live in, a little more than 70 years for some? Even if you live to be over 100, it's still just a blink of the eye. Very, very short time. But what should we be doing during our lives during that time, or not doing? We need to discern right from wrong. We should be doing that constantly. Every day of our life is full of choices. But after describing what the world would be like at his return, Jesus spoke to his disciples regarding the exact time of his coming. Let's turn to Mark 13. Let's go back to Mark chapter 13. And let's read verses 32 through 37 there. Let me see here. Get the right pages. Yes, Mark 13, 32 through 37. But of that day and that hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Jesus himself does not know, but only the Father knows that time when he will turn to his Son, Jesus, and say, hey, it's time to go back. It's time to take over. It's time to put Satan where he belongs. Verse 33, Take heed, pay attention, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Verse 34, it is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority. This is Jesus Christ picturing himself as a man leaving to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. We all have different jobs that we do in the work of God, that God has called us all to. And he gave us the authority to do that and commanded the doorkeeper to watch, to look at things that are going on, to be able to read the signs of the time. Verse 35, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster in the morning there, lest coming suddenly you find yourself sleeping. You know, again, with all the instant communications that we have and all of the news that we have on television, it's hitting us in the face constantly. We kind of drone out a little bit. We kind of, our mind, you know, hears all this going on, but we will tend to start to daydream a little bit, you know, and kind of doze off a little bit and say, you know, I need a break. I need a break from all of this. It's good sometimes just to turn the TV off and the cell phone off for a while and just let your mind think a little bit. It's really refreshing. But we can find ourselves daydreaming or droning off a little bit, and we could catch ourselves sleeping. You know, that's one of the things that that Satan probably promotes is, you know, oh, go ahead and take your time and doze off a little bit here. You don't need to be under the gun constantly. Verse 37, and what I say to you, Jesus says, I say to all, watch. Don't be caught napping. Don't be caught sleeping. We need to be doing exactly what he wants us to do in this life, is to be prepared for his coming kingdom, for his return. Now, just because we don't know the exact time of his return, this does not mean we have no need to keep a watchful eye on the world events and conditions. You know, we do have to look that way as well, too, but we need to be in control of our thinking on this so that we can see the big picture of what's going on into the world. But we mainly want to be looking on the most important part is our spiritual life. That's the part that we need to really be awake on, and we need to be paying extremely close attention to our own spiritual life. Are we awake? Are we paying attention? Are we watching over the way that we live our lives and make our choices each day in our lives? To repeat again verse 33, it says, listen up, watch and pray, for you don't know when the time is. Jesus Christ could return at any time. I would think right now, the world has the ability to annihilate itself. So, you know, there are things in place, there are things that are yet to happen that can happen extremely fast in this age that we are living in. In Mark 13, again, there in verse 34, where Jesus compares himself and his second coming to a man who traveled to a distant country and left his servants in charge of his property and asked the doorkeeper, who's the doorkeeper? Oh, the ministry is. They are the doorkeepers, and we are to be blowing the trumpet to expound on God's words that, you know, we are to be obedient to him. And we must stay alert until Christ returns. And then be even more alert. Then in verse 35 and 36, Jesus gives us his warning to his disciples a second time. And then in verse 37, he warns his servants not to fall asleep on the job. We've been called to a job. We've been called on a job to be prepared for the jobs, not only in this life of doing God's work, but jobs that we don't even comprehend that he's going to have planned for us in the world tomorrow after we are changed into spirit beings. Won't have to sleep, won't have to eat. We will be able to do what God wants us to do. But emphasizing the important task that we are to be doing and what I say to you, he says, I say to all, he says, be alert. Be alert of what's going on around you, but more importantly, be alert and aware of how you're conducting yourself. Watch and be ready. And we have to ask ourselves constantly, are we ready? Are there things that we need to work on ourselves? Yes, there is for each and every one of us here. We all sin daily and we must repent daily. We must have an account of ourselves constantly. Speaking of accounts, in Luke's account, he emphasizes our personal conduct. When Christ, with Christ warning us to be diligent in keeping our personal spiritual house in order and showing us exactly the kind of distractions to avoid, let's turn to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21, and let's read verses 34 through 36. Verse 34, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life. You know, you can watch TV and the news or whatever it is, and you'll kind of slip off into the cares of this world, of this life that's right now. And you know they'll have all these commercials that you should be taking this and doing that, and you deserve the good life, you deserve a break today, you need this, you need that, you know, and things can come on you unexpectedly. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Verse 36, watch, therefore, and pray always. Be in constant prayer with our Father, our God in heaven. And we know that Jesus the Christ is at his right hand interceding for us. He knows exactly what it is down here with what we're living through. Always that you may be counted worthy, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come past, and be able to stand before the Son of Man. Pray always that we may be counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man, before Jesus Christ when he returns. In 2 Peter 3, let's turn over there. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 9. The Apostle Peter asks, since all these things are to be destroyed, in this way, where he's talking here about, you know, at the return of Christ, with what sort of people, you know, what sort of people should you be? What kind of conduct should you be having here? So let's start in verse 9. 2 Peter 3, we'll start in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering. He is patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is extremely patient with each and every one of us. We know that. You know, we may be rough and tough and hard to bluff and think that we are pretty smart, but, we are not. And God is extremely patient with each and every one of us, but he wants each and every one of us to come to repentance. You know, probably the most sermons that I give is about repentance, because I feel in these last days, and I honestly believe we're in the last days, probably one of the most important things that we need to learn is repentance, along with love and caring for others and obedience to God. But, you know, repentance is something that God is focusing in on me and you. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness? We are to be holy as God is holy. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. As God is holy. So we need to be watching out for ourselves and our spiritual life, that we must keep an eye not only on world events but on ourselves exactly. God promises protection for his servants. We have that hope that we can count on. God will do what he says he will do. He keeps his promises. He promises to protect all of his servants. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. One of the most encouraging aspects of this subject is knowing that God has promised to watch over us and to care for all of his people during this time of worldwide turmoil. And yes, there's nothing new under the sun since Adam and Eve. Humans have lived in trouble and in turmoil, problems constantly all the time. Like I said, Job kind of had a handle on that. And, he said, hide me in the grave, until you call me and I will answer. And that's probably going to be the safest place, probably, is in the grave. Satan can't touch you. God has you there and can resurrect you at any time that he chooses. Jesus said, there is nothing wrong with wanting to avoid suffering in the end time disasters. Something that he realizes that we think about. We think about those things. In fact, as we saw in Luke 21:36, Jesus encourages us to be alert, to be aware, watching our own spiritual life. Once again, we want to emphasize that constantly. It's between us and God. It's our choices that God hears. We're not making them for other people. They have to make their own choices. But we need to be watching our own spiritual life as well as the world events again there. Earnestly praying. We got to be able to read the signs of the times by watching the world events. We can read the writing on the wall. We know the prophecies. We have read them. We can see what is coming down the pike where the other people can't. God said that he gave us information that is for us, not for everybody. He's not calling everybody at this time. He called us for a special reason at this very special time. And we are commanded to be right here at this Feast of Tabernacles to partake in this spiritual food that we are eating here today. But in the world events, earnestly praying that we will be worthy to escape the coming devastation. And if it happens in our lifetime, we need to be preparing for that. The Bible tells us, just in Noah's day, God will provide a way for many of the faithful to be protected during the 3.5-year period. We're talking about the Great Tribulation, Jacob's troubles, and that tribulation is going to come. God has to bring humanity to their knees, and it is punishment. He has to punish the humans that will not obey. He has to bring them to their knees. That's what the Great Tribulation is mainly for. And as in Zephaniah 2, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, but it tells us, seek the Lord, all you meek on the earth. Well, I have a definition of what the word meek means. I remember years ago out at Ambassador Auditorium, we used to have afternoon services there, and one day Mr. Herbert Armstrong was speaking, and Dr. Zimmerman saved me a place on the front row. I had to kind of bump him every now and then because he liked to talk through the sermons, but he was quite the funny guy. But anyway, Mr. Armstrong described his definition of the word meek, and as what he said, if a person is meek, they are tamed, just like a horse is tamed. And to be tamed, to be obedient to God, and that's what he considers to be meek, and to uphold God's justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Realize just who we are as humans. We are made out of the dust of the ground. We are nothing special. We are going to be going back to that dust of the ground. We need to have that humble attitude, knowing our place, who we are, and to think of the wonderful blessing of knowing that God has called us down through the generations. That only a handful of people has been called out. We're looking at a handful right here. Handful right here that God has called out. We need to seek righteousness, seek humility. And if we do, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. The Bible tells us that. Satan will try to destroy God's people. God will provide the means for many of them to be spared this dangerous time that is ahead. There's a lot of danger things going on that's right now that we need to pray about for protection of God's people. But let's turn to Let's turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. A few pages over. Revelation chapter 12, and let's start in verse 12 through 17. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Well, who dwells there? The angels do. God the Father and Jesus Christ do. Rejoice there, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Read the signs of the times of what is going on in the world today. This whirlpool, this vortex that we are living in is going faster and faster and faster. And things are going to be happening very, very soon. Could be in our lifetime. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, the church, who gave birth to the male child, Jesus Christ. But the woman, the church, was given two wings of a great eagle. That is symbolic, of course. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half time from the presence of the serpent. Going to be nourished. Well, we're being nourished right here today and this week here at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're getting the spiritual food that God is feeding us, and he is going to feed us even more and more during that 3.5 year period. We need to be humble. We need to be righteous. We need to be obedient to God. We need to be following the example of Jesus Christ in our lives so that we can be in that place where we will be nourished like that. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood, which is symbolic of an army, after the woman, the church, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood, by the army. Verse 16, but the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, swallowed up that army, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, with the church. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, our children. We have a lot of sad cases. I know there's a couple that is in our Nashville congregation. And they scrimped and saved all their lives, and they put their children through Ambassador College. And today, not one of them is in God's church. But these are the offspring that Satan is going to be after and doing his best to destroy, thinking that it's hurting us, of course, who keep the commandments of God and who have testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, they know God's truth, but they decide not to. We pray for our children. We hope that they will turn, that they won't think, well, this is just mom and dad's church that we're going to. No, it's not. No, it's not at all. God gives us the hope that we need. And we need to pray earnest prayers that God will see us through and bring our children through as well, too. Jesus said, he will care for those who are faithfully serving him during that time. Let's turn back to Revelation 3. Revelation 3. A few pages back. Revelation 3, and let's start in verse 10 through 13. And Jesus is saying here, he says, because you have kept my command to persevere. You know, to endure, to continue on, to keep up. I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole earth. Why? To test those who dwell on the earth. We humans are being tested. You know, God has to know for sure, before he changes us into a spirit being, that he can trust us enough to be changed to a spirit being. He doesn't want us to end up the way Satan is going to end up. To be a spirit being lives forever. Verse 11. Behold, or look, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. And Satan is going to try to distract you. He's going to try to give you all kinds of problems in your way to keep you from being obedient to God. Verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. You know how wonderful it is that our Father, our God in heaven, is going to be setting up his government here on earth, has jobs that he has called me and you to do. In Revelation 7, we see God's servants are sealed and spared from the coming world events. Let's turn to Revelation 7, another few pages the other way. We'll start in verse 1, verse 1 through verse 4. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Verse 2, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000, and all of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. God has a plan. He has the power. Just as Jesus Christ had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead, he created each and every one of us. Knew us before we were born, while we were still in our mother's womb, he knew us. There is no such thing as a coincidence. Nothing happens unless God allows it. And he is in charge. And who are these servants that he's talking about? Here is how the book of Revelation describes them. They are those who keep and do the commandments of God and have the testimony and faith of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Revelation 22. Back toward the end of the book here. Revelation 22. We'll start reading in verse 12 through 14. Jesus speaking, and behold, I am coming quickly. Means we need to pay attention, we need to be awake, we need to be thinking about our own spiritual life and our families and the work that God has called us to do. And my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. Our lives is our work. How well are we overcoming? How well are we being obedient? What are we doing? Are we paying attention? Are we paying attention to our spiritual life? Or are we letting Satan put us to sleep? It's time that we make sure that we are spiritually awake. Satan wants all of us to think, oh, you have many, many more years to live, and Jesus will not return for a long, long time. He's been talking about coming back for a long, long time. Don't believe the liar. The liar is Satan. He's been a liar from the beginning, and he lied to Mother Eve, he's going to lie to you as well, too. Satan came to Mother Eve as a friend. He was there when God the Father was teaching Adam and Eve the way to live. And Satan thought, well, you know, maybe I could have a conversation with Eve. He says, well, maybe I could just put myself inside that snake there, that serpent. And I know she has never seen a serpent that could talk. I'll get her attention. So he did that. He put himself into that snake, slithered up there and said, hey, Eve. And she said, wow, talking snake here. And he says, I overheard the conversation you had there with God. And he says, God's lying to you. He said that you will surely die if you eat of the tree of good and evil. You won't surely die. Satan is a liar. He came to Eve as a friend Now, here's where we need to be awake spiritually. He's going to come to you and me as a friend as well, too, and does. Be careful. Be awake. Be alert. Satan will come to you as a friend, soft-spoken, and you think, well, this can't be all bad. We have to discern right from wrong. God never changes. His laws never change. Remember that. Hang on to that fast. Hold on to that trunk of the tree that Mr. Armstrong used to talk about. The Bible tells us that in the end time that we will be full of trouble. No doubt about that. All over the world, and we can certainly see that now, and we know that it's happening. The Apostle Paul gives us a wonderful perspective on how we should spiritually prepare for the end time, regardless of when it comes. Get a little dry up here. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read verses 4 through 11 there. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light, sons of the day. We are not the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Let us stay awake. Let us be alert as others do, or let us not be asleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be sober-minded. Don't be taking it loosely or for granted what we should be doing. Be sober about it. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. And then in verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he died for us, that whether we are awake or whether we sleep, whether we are alive or whether we are dead, we should live together with him, dead or alive. There was a lady, she is dead now, in our church over in Jackson, Tennessee. She died a few years back. Her name was Mrs. Kessery. And she had a saying that she always said, I think she was probably in her 90s when she died. I don't know for sure, but I think in that area right there. And here's a saying that she always said that had a whole lot of meaning, and I have quoted her several times in many sermons. She said, speaking of dying, if I go or if I stay, I'm okay either way. And these scriptures here tell exactly what she was talking about. Let's all ask ourselves, am I as close to God as I should be? Am I truly awake and obeying what our Father says to do? Am I repenting daily? Why? Because we sin daily. We are still infallible. But we have God's Holy Spirit living in us, those who have been baptized and hands laid on you. We have God's Holy Spirit. We can go directly to our Father and ask for forgiveness any time, day or night. We have to ask ourselves, am I an overcomer? Am I making progress on myself? Am I overcoming all the horrible sins that I keep repeating? Am I working on that? Or am I just saying, well, that's just plain old me? Are we being an overcomer? These are things that we all need to think about and ask ourselves constantly. Be sober about it. I won't keep you too long here. So in closing, Christ is about to come back to the earth. We know that. The times are right. We can read the signs. We can read the writing on the wall, so to speak. We believe. We have belief in our Father, our God in heaven, in Jesus Christ, and the price that Christ paid for each and every one of us. And we have the hope. We know that God will do what he says he will do. He cannot lie. This is a time for us to watch. Most important thing, to watch our spiritual life and watch the world events, knowing what is coming and knowing that our elder brother, Jesus the Christ, will be putting his feet on the Mount of Olives. And we hope that it'll be soon. We pray that it'll be soon. We are called here to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is a feast of spiritual food. Drink it in. Take good notes. Put things into your life that you need to change in your life. Eat the spiritual food that God is feeding us all through this feast. And when you go home, one of the most important things that you can do is your daily Bible study and your prayers. Be sober about the rest of your life. Take advantage of the spiritual food that we're having here and absorb it. Absorb all you can. We are being fed and prepared for the return of Jesus Christ in God's coming kingdom. But let's ask ourselves again. Let's ask ourselves again here in closing. Are we spiritually awake or are we dozing off? Good to see y'all.